But the most important biological tree we find in Matthew chapter 1. And I would encourage each one of us to turn our testaments there. And we want to look at King Jesus the Christ's biological tree in the moments that we have on this morning. We as individuals, we always are interested in mother and father and grandmother and great-grandmother and all of the information that we can gain from our biological genealogy. It's interesting to us. But when we study the genealogy of King Jesus the Christ, it should be just as interesting. So many times when we open our Bibles on a Bible study and we see all of these names and we see these long genealogies, and we have a tendency to kind of overlook that, not study it, or it may perhaps be somewhat challenging to us. We don't want to tackle that. But a proper approach to it would be much easier for all of us to understand, that we might get a good grasp as to who these people are, what's the meaning behind it, and certainly how important it is to study that. Now, when we start off in Matthew chapter 1, the book of the generation of Jesus Christ, the son of David, the son of Abraham, and Abraham begat Isaac, and Isaac begat Jacob, and Jacob begat Judas and his brethren, and Judas begat Phares and Zerah of Tamar. Phares begat Ezra, and Ezra begat Aram. Aram begat Amminadab. Amminadab begat Naas, and Naas begat Salmon. Salmon begat Boaz of Rahab. Boaz begat Obed of Ruth. Obed begat Jesse. Jesse begat David the king. David the king begat Solomon of her that had been the wife of Uriah. Solomon begat Rehoboam. Rehoboam begat Abiah. Abiah begat Asa. Asa begat Jehoshaphat. Jehoshaphat begat Jehoram. Jehoram begat Uzziah. Uzziah begat Joatham. Joatham begat Achan. Achan begat Zedekiah. Zedekiah begat Manasseh. Manasseh begat Armon. Armon begat Josiah. Josiah begat Jeconiah and his brethren about the time they were carried away into Babylon. And after they were brought to Babylon, Jeconiah begat Salealtiel, and Salealtiel begat Zerubbabel. Zerubbabel begat Abiah. Abiah begat Eliakim. Eliakim begat Azar. Azar begat Sadok. Sadok begat Acham. Acham begat Eliab. But Eliab begat Eleazar. Eleazar begat Matthew. Matthew begat Jacob. Jacob begat Joseph, the husband of Mary, whom was born Jesus, who was called Christ. So all the generations from Abraham to David are 14 generations. All the generations from David to time they carried him into Babylon are 14 generations. And from that time until Christ is 14 generations, which 42 generations we see recorded by Levi Matthew. Now, how familiar are we with these names, and where does it take us? Let's start again, and let's go back through it very, very slowly. Preliminary to his analysis, that we perhaps might look at some indicators to make a good grasp as to what's going on. Notice it with me, please. The book of the generation of Jesus Christ, the son of David, the son of Abraham. And Abraham begat Isaac, and Isaac begat Jacob, and Jacob begat Judas and his brethren. And Judas begat Phares and Zerah of Tamar. Phares begat Ezra, and Ezra begat Aram. Aram begat Amminadab. Amminadab begat Naas, and Naas begat Salmon, and Salmon begat Boaz of Rahab. Boaz begat Obed of Ruth. Obed begat Jesse. Jesse begat David the king. Stop right there. In your American Standard 1901, your New American Standard, your New King James Version, your NIV, just to name some of the versions, what you're going to have right there is a paragraph and a period. Now, in your King James Version, I know it varies depending upon the publisher, but most King James Version, you're not going to have a paragraph nor a period. You're just going to have a semicolon. Now, these are indicators in the language to show us that there is something that we need to pay attention to with this block from 1 through 6, with this paragraph and this period, because this is one of the big, big monumental places in history for the Jewish nation. That is King David. Now, when we begin in 6b and go a little bit further, and David beget Solomon. Solomon and David beget Jesse. Jesse beget David the king. David the king beget Solomon of her that had been the wife of Uriah. Solomon begat Rehoboam. Rehoboam begat Abiah. Abiah begat Asa. Asa begat Jehoshaphat. Jehoshaphat begat Jehoram. Jehoram begat Uzziah. Josiah begat Joatham. Joatham begat Achaz. Achaz begat Zedekiah. Zedekiah begat Manasseh. Manasseh begat Amon. Amon begat Josiah. Josiah begat Jeconiah. About the time they were carried away into Babylon. Stop right there. Now in your American standard, once again, 1901, your new American standard, your NIV, your new King James Version, you're going to have another paragraph. This time you will not have a period, you will have a colon. Another paragraph and a period. But in your King James Version, you're going to have a paragraph now, but you're not going to have the semicolon, you will have a colon. Why is that, class? Because in the language is always an indicator of something, a big, big monumental event. The carrying away into Babylon was a monumental event in Jewish history. If time will allow, we'll go back and emphasize that. And then beginning with verse number 11, all the way down through the end to chapter 1 and verse 17, you're going to see 42 generations. Now, it's interesting to observe that when we look at Luke's account in Jesus Christ's family tree, Luke records from Luke 3 and verses 23 through 38, Luke records 76 generations. Now, why is that, class? Is that a contradiction? Why? Matthew records 42 generations in his writings. Luke, in his treatise, in Luke 3:23 to 38, records 76. It's not a contradiction. We have to understand Levi Matthew and the audience that he is writing to. He's writing to the Jews. The Jews, in his synoptic treaty, has more quotations from the Old Testament, more prophecies concerning King Jesus the Christ. What Levi Matthew is doing, because of the 42 generations, he is tracing the legal line of Joseph. He's tracing the legal line of Joseph. Now, in Luke's recording, Luke, in his treatise, that Gentile speaking to Greek speaking people, he talks about women more than any other of the synoptics. You'll see blood more than any other synoptics. And that's, of course, including John as well. But what Luke is doing, Luke is tracing the bloodline of Mary. And so what Luke does, he starts with Jesus Christ, and Luke goes all the way back to Adam, all the way past Adam, all the way past creation, and he ends up in heaven. That's the difference. One is tracing the legal line, and the other is tracing the bloodline. And so we have to understand that. When Levi Matthew, in those 42 generations, and of course, the historian Luke, in those 76 generations. Secondly, I want you to observe that in this treatise, we find that Jesus Christ, when we end up in Matthew chapter 1, he is actually fulfilling scripture. Now, when we start off from heaven, as Levi Matthew does, as Luke does, when we start off in the heaven, we know he was the Halagos. Our brother John informs us of that. John 1 and verse 1. And he came down and pitched his tent among men. He bivouacked. He pitched his tent among men. Verse 14 of John 1 tells us that. Now, when we start off with Adam and Eve. Now remember, if you keep this in mind, Jesus Christ fulfilled scripture. in his genealogical records. We start off with Adam and Eve. Adam and Eve sinned. Genesis 3 verses 1 through 6. Now God shows us that the first hint of redeeming mankind back from his sins. Notice what he says in Genesis 3 and verse 15. In Genesis 3 and verse 15, I would put warfare, that is enmity, between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. Hold it, wait a minute. Am I understanding that passage correctly? Because the passage says, between thy seed and her seed, it shall bruise thy head and thou shalt bruise his heel. This is the first hint of the first prophecy concerning Jesus Christ that he is going to redeem mankind back from his sin. But what we're thinking about with this passage is that there's going to come a time in the historicity of the human race that there is going to be a woman that's going to have a seed. Now I want you to underscore this. And we'll show you some things about that when we get to Matthew chapter 1. But in Genesis 3:15, there's going to come a time, according to the passage, that a woman is going to have a child, and man is not going to have anything to do with it. So now what happens is, we start off with Adam and Eve, because Jesus Christ is going to come down through a seed line. Adam and Eve has two sons, Cain and Abel. Right off the bat, Cain killed Abel. Abel, according to Genesis 4, was the seed of promise. Now it looks like the devil has won, because there is only three people in the world now. Adam, Eve, Cain. The devil has them. Genesis 4 shows us in Genesis 5 that Adam goes back, knew his wife. She has a son named what, class? Seth. Now, this seed line is going to run through Seth. Seth has a son named Enos. This seed line is going to run through Enos and then Cainan and Mahalalel and then Jared. And Jared had a son named what? Enoch. And, of course, Enoch had a son, and we all should know him. Is that right? Who was he? Methuselah, and then Methuselah, Lamech, then Noah. Now we've covered the first five chapters of the book of Genesis. If you're taking an outline or taking notes, let me just give this to you. The book of Genesis in the 50 chapters. In chapters 1 through 5, the sole central character is Adam. In chapters 6 through 11, Noah. In chapters 12 through 25, Abraham. And chapters 26 through 30, Isaac. And chapters 31 through 36, Jacob. And chapters 37 through 50, Joseph. And then we'll plug in chapter 38 and chapter 49, Judas. Now this seed line is going to come through Noah. We talk about the antediluvian period. That's the first five chapters. The post-diluvian period, that's Noah. Now the world has gotten so wicked again that every imagination of the thoughts was on the heart of men evil continuously. Genesis 6 and verse 5. It looks like the devil has won. If the devil wins, then the seed of woman would never get into the world where he can bust the devil's head. So there was one man that found grace in the eyes of God. And that man's name was Noah. God commissioned this man, as you well know, class, to build an ark for the saving of his house. And God Almighty's long-suffering was 120 years. Genesis 6, 1 to 3, where Noah preached, get in this ark because it's going to rain. And, of course, that's exactly what it did. And this cataclysmic baptismal flood cleansed the earth again. But hold it, wait a minute. It was eight that got into the ark. Noah and his wife was past childbearing years. Well, how is the earth is going to be replenished again? Well, we pick up with Noah's sons. Noah has three sons. Who were they? Shem, Ham, and Japheth. And the seed line has got to come through one of these boys. Now, Shem has five sons. Ham has four sons. Japheth has seven sons. Now, the sons of Japheth was Gomer, Magog, Madiah, Javan, Tubal, Meshach, and Tyrus. The sons of Ham was Cush, Put, Mizraim, and Canaan. The sons of Shem was Elam, Arphaxad, Lud, Aram. Elam, Asher, Arphaxad, Lud, and Aram. Now, this seed line is not going to come through the Japhethites, nor is this seed line is going to come through the Hamites. This seed line is going to come through the Shemite people of the world. So now we pick up in Genesis chapter 11 with Shem. Now, Noah, Shem. Shem had this boy, Arphaxad. This seed line is going to come through Selah, Eber, Peleg, Reu, Serub. This seed line is going to come down through these boys, through Nahor, through Terah. And what was Terah's son's name? Abraham. We know you know. Abraham. So now the devil has to keep his eyes on Abraham. The devil's job is to keep Jesus from getting into the world. Because if he can keep Jesus from getting to the world, then you and I could never ever be saved. And this seed line in these 76 generations in Luke's account of 42 generations and Matthew's account, it got down to one man in every generation. And each time God intervened, it shows us that God is always going to have a faithful person on board. So now you keep your eyes on Abraham. Now you remember in Genesis chapter 11 in the last verse. And Genesis chapter 12 verses 1 through 3. And the whole scheme of redemption, everything we know, everything that God ever did, is hung on two prophecies. That's Genesis 3:15. That's Genesis 12:1-3. Those two prophecies. Everything. There is nothing you can say that will not embrace these two prophecies. Genesis 3:15. I'm going to say the word by the seed of woman. Holy, wait a minute. That doesn't sound right. Seed of woman? Woman has a seed? So now what we do, we pick up with Abraham. And of course, this should become much more familiar with all of us because, you know, Abraham, he had a son named Isaac. But before he had Isaac, we know what happened. We know how he was encouraged to go and lay with the bondwoman and up pop Ishmael. But Ishmael was not the seed of promise. And of course, when God had appeared to Sarah, we know she even laughed. I'm past childbearing years. But finally, Isaac comes along the scene. Then Isaac has a son named Jacob. Jacob has 13 children, 12 boys and one daughter. Reuben, Simeon, Levi, Judah, Issachar, Gad, Asher, Joseph, Benjamin, Dan, and Naphtali. Now this seed line is going to come down through Jacob. Then of course it's coming down through Joseph. You remember Genesis 45 verses 5 through 7. God sent me here to preserve you. And of course down through Judah. Now when we get through with Jacob, we get to Judah. You remember Judah already had three boys. But then we know the act of his daughter-in-law, don't we, class? In Genesis 38. Behind that, two twin boys was born. Who were they? Perez and Zerah of Tamar. Now this seed line is going to come down through Perez and Zerah of Tamar. Then Perez begat Hezron. Hezron begat Aram. Aram begat Amminadab. Amminadab begat Naasson. Naasson begat Salmon. Salmon begat Boaz of Rahab. Boaz begat Obed of Ruth. Obed begat Jesse. Jesse begat David the king. David the king begat Solomon of her that had been the wife of Uriah. Stop right there. Because now we come to the end of the eighth period. You have the antediluvian, post-diluvian, patriarchal. We've already did that with Abraham. Then you have that period of wanderings, those 40 chapters of the book of Exodus. Then you have that the period of Egyptian bondage, and then the period of wanderings. Then after Moses dies, Joshua is commissioned to take the children across the Jordan River. And we usually call that the period of conquest. Then you got 350 to 400 years, that period called the Judges. Othniel, Ehud, Shamgar, Deborah, Barak, Gideon, Abimelech, Tol, Jair, Jephthah, Isban, Elon, Abdon, Samson, Eli, and Samuel. That period of the Judges. Then you have the period of the United Kingdom, where we just stopped. Well, you got those three kings that appeared in that United Kingdom, serving 40 years apiece, Saul, David, and Solomon. But wait a minute. Listen to me carefully. You remember in Genesis 49:10, the scepter shall not depart from Judah, nor a lawgiver from between his feet until Shiloh come. And that word Shiloh means prince of peace, bringer of peace. Talking about King Jesus the Christ in Matthew chapter 1. All down through now, we see that this seed line is going to have to come through Judah. And Micah 5 and verse 2, but thou Bethlehem, Judah. And Matthew 2 and verse 6, but thou Bethlehem in the land of Judah. Hebrews 7, 12 to 14, the priesthood being changed, there's made a necessity, a change also of the law. For he of whom these things are spoken pertaining to another tribe, of which no man gave attendance at the altar. It is evident that our Lord sprang out of Judah. In Revelation 5 and verse 5, behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the root of David, had prevailed to open the book and to loose the seven seals thereof. So we see now it's got to come through Judah, but in this eighth period, we got a problem here. What's the problem, class? We have a problem because at the death of Solomon, Rehoboam ascended to the throne. And at the death of Solomon and Rehoboam sent into the throne, God divided the nations as an act of judgment because of the nation's idolatry. Now you got 10 tribes to the north, constituting the northern kingdom, the kingdom of Israel, 2 tribes to the south, constituting the southern kingdom, the kingdom of Judah, capital of Jerusalem. But now you have, for the next 250 years, you got two kingdoms existing side by side, the northern kingdom, the kingdom of Israel, the southern kingdom, the kingdom of Judah. I know Jesus Christ can't come through that northern kingdom because those 19 kings, Jeroboam, Nadab, Baasha, Elam, Zimri, Umri, Ahaz, Ahaziah, Jehoram, Jehu, Jehoahaz, Joash, Jeroboam the second, Zechariah, Shalom, Menahem, Pekiah, Pekah, and the last king of that northern kingdom was who, class? Hoshea. And 17 of the 19 of these kings, what you're going to find written a direct quotation behind their name, they all walk in the ways of Jeroboam, the son of Nebat, which made Israel to sin. The only two that you won't read that phrase, but you have other indicators because all of those wicked kings was Zimri, who served only 7 days. And the last king, Hoshea. And we know that northern king came to an end where their national identity came to a cease, 722 B.C., up in the hands of Assyria, which God sent in Isaiah 10 and verse 5, that Assyria is a rod in my hand of mine anger. So now we have to concentrate on the southern kingdom in order to get King Jesus the Christ here. Now at the death of Solomon, Rehoboam, his son, ascended to the throne. Rehoboam was the first king of that southern kingdom. Rehoboam, Abiah, Asa, Jehoshaphat, Jehoram, Ahaziah, Athaliah, Joash, Amaziah, Azariah, Jotham, Ahaz, Hezekiah, Manasseh, Amon, Josias, Jehoahaz, Jehoiakim, Jehoiachim, and the last king of the southern kingdom was who? King Zedekiah. Now, Jesus Christ has to come down through the tribe of Judah. So we pick up after this period where after the southern kingdom, the divided kingdom there, then the period of Judah alone, then of course the period of exile, and that's where we pick up. And Salealtiel begets Zerubbabel. Zerubbabel begets Abiah, Abiah begets Eliakim, Eliakim begets Azar, Azar begets Sadok, Sadok begets Acham, Acham begets Eliab, Eliab begets Eleazar. Eleazar begets Matthew, Matthew begets Joseph, Joseph begets Jacob, the husband of Mary, whom was born Jesus, who was called Christ. Now, I added some from Luke, which I just covered 64 generations for you. Jesus Christ fulfills scripture. It's interesting to observe as well that the carried away into Babylon, actually three deportations, 606, 597, and 11 years later, 586 BC. As a matter of fact, God at that one time holy city, Jerusalem, was attacked and besieged 34 times. Did you know or not know that today no Jew know what family or what tribe that they come from? It's an impossibility. Why is that, class? Because when Titus, the Roman emperor, besieged and attacked Jerusalem in AD 70, after all of that pillaging, all of the records were destroyed. And there is not a Jew today could tell you what family he came from. There's no way to prove it. But this is my point. All of those times Jerusalem was attacked, God in his omnibenevolence, his providential care, he preserved that situation until he got King Jesus the Christ into this world. That's amazing to me, friend. Oh, that's amazing. 34 times being attacked. And yet God protected that situation because if Jesus Christ couldn't have proven he came down through the lineage of David, there would not have been a Jew baptized on the day of Pentecost. And God preserved that situation. How amazing that is. Not only that, in Genesis 3:15, I would put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. That's interesting. Her seed? Really? That's what the Bible says. What are you telling me? Are you telling me that there's going to be a time where in the historicity of the human race where a woman is going to have a child and a man is not going to have anything to do with it? That's what it's saying. Look at Matthew chapter 1. Something else interesting in Matthew chapter 1, just to prove this argument. From verse number 2 to verse 16, there was a verb that was used, and that verb was beget. It was used 39 times to categorize 41 generations. 39 times. Beget, 39 times. When we talk about this verb beget, that's always the action of who? The Father, is that right? Begotten, passive. That's what is done on the child. Well, what does the woman do? She gives birth. When you're talking about giving birth, you're talking about the action of the woman. When you talk about begotten, action done upon the child. And always doing the begetting. That's the action of the man. Always. Now, Matthew, Abraham beget all the way down. 39 times. Very consistent. But when Matthew get to Jacob beget Joseph, the husband of Mary, he leaves off this beget between Joseph and Jesus. Matthew, why did you do that? In Isaiah 7:14, there was going to be a virgin that's going to have a child. Oh, hold it, wait a minute. That's impossible. That is impossible. I want to know Levi Matthew from chapter 1, verse 2. All the way down, you've been consistent with your begetting. And all of these that has been doing this begetting were men, not women. But when you get down to Jesus Christ, you left that verb off. What are you telling me, Levi? I can tell you what he's saying. There was only one human being involved in the birth of King Jesus. Only one. And it certainly wasn't Joseph. If that's not clear enough for you, let me show you something else. It's right there in the text. Notice, and Jacob begat Joseph, the husband of Mary. Watch this. Of whom? You see that of whom there? Actually, a prepositional phrase. But what's so interesting about this, whom is a personal pronoun. And what's so interesting about this in the language, whom is the object of this preposition? Kind of rudiments of languages, most of them. As an old rule, dealing with pronouns always have to refer back to the nearest antecedent, which is a proper name, noun, or pronoun. We all know that. I'm asking you, what or whom is the nearest antecedent? Is it Joseph? It's Mary. Let me show you something else that perhaps you may have overlooked. When we study words, Greek, and certainly as in other languages, it's in Spanish, when you study masculine, feminine, and of course neuter, it's in French, it's in Italian, that these modifying words, even adjectives, has to agree in gender. Don't you ever forget that, friend. It has to agree in gender. Now, this whom Not only is it a pronoun, but neighbor, it's a feminine pronoun. It's a feminine pronoun. I want to know who is the feminine gender in the passage that only whom can agree to. I'm telling you, friend, Isaiah 7:14, Genesis 3:15 is right. It's Mary. She has a seed. She brings a child into this world. Genesis 3:15, Isaiah 7:14, and man has nothing to do with it at all. Not only that, there's something else very, very interesting here. When you study the genealogy of Jews, because, you know, and I know the way they viewed women, mistreated women, you never find a woman mentioned in their genealogies. But in the genealogy of our Lord Jesus Christ, how many women are mentioned? How many, class? Come on out with your hands up. How many? One? Well, we know Mary. I'll give you that one. We've been talking about her. Okay. Two, three, four. All right. Notice. It's five women mentioned. Look at it. Verse 3. Who is it? Tamar. Verse 5. Who is it? And who else? And Rahab. Verse 16. Who is that? Mary. Now, where's the other one? All right, we don't have but two or three more minutes. Verse 6. The wife of Uriah. That's five women mentioned. Underscore that if you don't have it in your Bibles. That's interesting to me. Not only that, did you ever think about Gentile blood running through the veins of King Jesus the Christ? Look at the women that are mentioned in his genealogy. Good men wouldn't have written the Bible and bad men couldn't have wrote it because their condemnation is on every page. You wouldn't have put Rahab in the genealogy of King Jesus. Why not Hannah? Why not some of those great women? Well, Rahab's faith is commended. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 31, James chapter 2. Think about the women that are mentioned in Jesus Christ's genealogy. First, Tamar. We've mentioned that. Genesis 38. You remember how she dressed herself up as a harlot? Sit out there on the square. Judah comes along, see her, offer her a kid goat. They consummated that situation. Two twin boys was born, Perez and Zerah of Tamar. He already had three boys. Think about that. Bathsheba. Scarlet sinner mentioned in the genealogy of Jesus. Ruth, a despised Moabitess. You think about that. Rahab, we know about her as well. Joshua 2. brothers and sisters, friends and neighbors, Bathsheba, 10 generations later, we think about Bathsheba. We think about Ruth, despised Moabitess. And yet, there is actually a book in this Bible, Old Testament, that has her name. Only two books of women, Esther and Ruth. Why are they in there? Just to have two books for the women's Bible class to study? That's amazing. We know what Tamar done. We know what all of them done. So all of the generations, from Abraham to David, 14 according to Levi Matthew. From David, 10 generations later, from the time they were carried away into Babylon, at least 3 deportations. And from the time they were carried away into Babylon to the cross of Christ. I hope I've been some help to you, showing you how important it is not to just close our Bibles when we get to all of those names. We'll get to all of those genealogies, because now as Jesus gets into the world, he is able to shed his blood for the sins of mankind and establish the church of Christ that you and I sit in, citizens, members of, this morning. Thank you so very, very much.